Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this: talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Dungeon Cast. I'm Brian.
And I'm William.
This is the podcast where we talk about everything Dungeons and Dragons.
And today I'm teaching Brian all about the Spelljammer setting. Hey Brian.
Hey Will.
How you doing today?
I'm good. I feel special because you're just teaching me.
I know. Just you. No one else. We're not even recording this.
No.
I'm kidding.
Get ready, listener. You're not going to learn shit. It's all going to be me.
So today we are going to space.
What?
Sort of. Not like our real life space, but a weird fantasy space that operates under very different laws of physics. A D&D space.
Where combat takes 6 seconds, but it actually takes like 20 minutes to finish that round.
Well, yes, that still stands. But it's not even really a D&D space so much as it's a Spelljammer space, although in world that they call it Wild Space. But we are talking about Spelljammer. The setting, not the thing in the world that's also called a Spelljammer.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, we're covering the Spelljammer setting today.
Not the item, the Spelljammer.
Yes.
And it's only in space, sort of.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
So this is a setting with a unique take on space travel and multiversal connection. It's cool. And there's a new book coming out that everyone should buy. So.
Oh, yeah. The new D&D, like, it's a sanctioned D&D book, right?
Yes, it's Spelljammer Adventures in Space, even though it's not really space. But still, it's their version of space. We'll get into it. Let's talk about it.
It is a space.
It is a space that exists.
Cool.
In the mind.
Got it.
Now, we are talking about the setting of Spelljammer before the release of this new book. I want this episode to be a basic primer for people who are interested in the setting, but want to know what they're getting into first.
Right.
That being said, we know very well on this show, it's come up a million times, how drastically things can change from edition to edition.
Right.
So everyone be aware that there will likely be some variation between the info that I've gathered from previous editions on this setting and what will be in the upcoming Adventures in Space book.
I think it'll be very different.
I have a very strong sense that it will be. And that's okay. That's
going to
totally
have
fine.
Its own 5e flavor. You know, they've had a long time to work on it.
Yeah. I cannot wait till, despite my disclaimer here, for years to come about comments about how I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
I know, right? Like, none of that is accurate to the release of the late, like,
listen to the disclaimer. Look at the date this came out. Shut the fuck up. Okay, moving on. So what is Spelljammer?
Oh,
so what is Spelljammer?
I don't even know anymore.
Spelljammer is a campaign setting originally published back in second edition, which features a fantastic as opposed to a scientific depiction of outer space environments. The key premise of Spelljammer is that magic allows ships to sail through space, not like traditional sci-fi spaceships, but like literal boats and other strange and fantastical vehicles that can venture off-world and into outer space.
It sounds like the solar sailors. They have like big fins that catch solar winds to propel them.
There is a bit of that. Yeah, there's a bit of that that's going on. We will get into it when we start talking about Spelljammers.
Yeah,
everything's magic. Yeah.
Okay.
The Spelljammer setting was designed with the usual sword and sorcery adventures of Dungeons & Dragons while still operating within the framework of the many outer space tropes. Flying ships travel through the vast expanses of interplanetary space, visiting moons and planets and other stellar objects. But you still get to swing your sword, and that's effective as well.
Yeah, and there are hippo people.
We'll get into them, too.
Right.
And they did this, and this is the main reason that I think Spelljammer is... Like, when you say Spelljammer is D&D in space, that is a gross misinterpretation. You're not giving people the proper idea.
Yeah, it's such a blanket... That's such a blanketed term, and this is really specific stuff.
Yeah, and... the reason that I'm about to say here is why it is that way, but also I think it's awesome because it gives Spelljammer an incredibly unique like flavor. It's not like almost anything else I've ever seen except for like really old stuff, which we'll talk about later.
Yeah, it's like its own spin-off of what sci-fi can be.
Yeah, exactly. and I'll talk about some of the influences on that, but they did this idea of Spelljammer with the idea that every official setting, Forgotten Realms, Dragonlance, Dark Sun, Eberron, is literally a planet/planetary system that can be visited by crossing the expanse of space.
Cool, so this is a plug-and-play system. Mm-hmm. It can just exist in your already existing lore and world.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
great.
This actually unifies most D&D settings and provides a canonical method for allowing characters from one setting to travel to another setting.
Yeah.
Spelljammer introduces a comprehensive system of fantasy astrophysics, including the concept of crystal spheres. Crystal spheres are areas in space that may contain multiple worlds and are navigable using ships equipped with spelljamming helms.
Oh, okay.
So, ships powered by spelljamming helms, oh god, I lost my place, are capable of flying into not only the sky, but into space. With their own fields of gravity and atmosphere, the ships have open decks and tend not to resemble the spaceships of science fiction, but instead look more like galleons, animals, birds, fish, or even more wildly fantastic shapes. Though the cosmology for Spelljammer is derived largely from the Ptolemaic system of astronomy. Do you know who Ptolemy is?
Yes, I do. I do know
Ptolemy. Ancient philosopher from like the old Roman Empire, Egypt, yeah. all that mm-hmm. other stuff. This is basically based off his ideas of what space could be like, you know.
Okay, so, yeah. That's neat.
Many of the ideas from the setting owe much of their works also to late 19th century and early 20th century sci-fi writers such as Jules Verne or Edgar Rice Burroughs.
Yeah, those are prolific names mm-hmm. in sci-fi.
This gives Spelljammer a very particular flavor. Simply saying Spelljammer is just D&D in space, I think, does not give the proper impression of the setting at all.
Yeah, we've covered Spelljammer here and there on the show, especially, I think the last one we did was the Beholder episode, right?
Yeah, so a lot of the during Year of the Beholder, we talked about a lot of like particular like out there beholders, and a lot of them come from this setting because beholders are very prominent in Spelljammer. They tend to work together more so than your classic beholders, and right. they tend to form hive minds and stuff, and like these hive minds float around like ships and stuff like that.
Yeah, that makes sense. You can have a ship made out of like any shape or whatever.
Exactly. So long as it can magically propel itself, that's all that matters.
Yeah, so you're not worried about like pressure or atmosphere.
I didn't read anything about pressure. Atmosphere, the thing is, we're going to get...
Like the Spelljammer kind of will take care of it?
I think that's the idea. I didn't actually read anything that said that, but it's got to be the idea. That or you're casting the breathe... what is it? I know there's a spell that makes it so you don't need to breathe.
You can breathe in whatever atmosphere.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, and there are races that do the same. I mean, I've got an image on the new monitor in the background that suggests that everything is cool out there.
Which
on the
is
deck
weird
of the ship.
Because a lot, of, yeah, it's weird because a lot of stuff we're going to talk about literally says that in these regions there is no atmosphere. So it's like, well, there has to be a fake one on the ship then.
Exactly.
But yeah, I didn't read anything about it. But I'm sure someone who's way more familiar with Spelljammer might know. Again, this is just a beginner's introduction.
Yeah. I would imagine it's the Spelljammer.
I'm waiting for the book
itself.
To come out, too.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe it'll have more details.
But let's talk about the structure of Spelljammer space and physics.
Okay.
Starting with crystal spheres. A crystal sphere, sometimes called a crystal shell, is a gigantic spherical shell that contains an entire planetary system. Mm-hmm. Each sphere varies in size, but typically they are twice the diameter of the orbit of the planet that is furthest from the sun or planet at the center of the sphere, depending on whether it's geocentric or, gosh, what's the other?
Heliocentric?
Hey, there we go. Heliocentric.
Yeah. Okay.
Crystal spheres are made of a dark ceramic material that has no gravity and appears to be impossible to damage by any normal or magical means.
Cool, that's great.
Uh-huh.
The
surface of the sphere is called the sphere wall and separates the void of wild space within the sphere from the phlogiston. That's a word we're going to say 1,000 times today. It is a gaseous, liquid-like magical element which surrounds and flows outside all crystal spheres. Openings in the sphere wall are called portals, allowing spell-jamming ships or wild space creatures to pass through and enter or exit from a crystal sphere. Portals can spontaneously open and close anywhere on the sphere wall.
Oh, no. I bet there's some that this portal's been open for thousands of years,
yep.
and we don't expect it to close.
Absolutely.
Like volcanic
until
activity.
It does.
Until it does, yeah. Oh, it's the sphere is indestructible. Until it's not.
Exactly.
Go find out what happened, adventurers.
Crystal shells mark the outer limit of any deity of that system's influence. Divine magic that emanates from a deity worshipped on a world within a crystal sphere is severely dampened or becomes completely non-existent once one crosses the crystal shell into the phlogiston and into... other crystal spheres, unless the deity also enjoys considerable worship in this new location.
You sure it's not phlogiston?
It was spelled out to me, enunciated as phlogiston.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah. I swear to God.
the G's, man.
I know. The birth of a crystal sphere is an extremely rare, lengthy, and beautiful event that tends to attract the attention of deities. The Tyrillian god, Lathander, the deity of dawn, adores new beginnings and likes to observe such births. Once, he and his paramour, Tyke, spent an entire year watching a birth from the back of a Kandori, or space whale.
Perverts. These spheres just come into existence and then there's planets inside of them all of a sudden? I'm so Big Bang oriented, you know? Point originated all the matter.
Yeah, this is like they spontaneously seem to originate.
Cool, okay. And it's just like a...
I think, and I didn't read this anywhere, but my take was that like the idea here is every time a DM births a new homebrew, a crystal sphere is born.
Dope. Okay, so you have to get somebody to one shot a campaign inside of your campaign so you can like complete the plot hole loop of like sphere birthing so the party can like see the sphere birth.
Yeah, absolutely.
Some
exactly.
Convoluted
the sphere
shit
birth
like that.
Has to be observed or it never happened.
I need all five of you to start running a game right now, independently of each other. It's gonna be great. We're gonna get the gods' attention.
So the process of birth in some way seems biological. It starts with an existing crystal sphere. Oh wait, no, that we have an explanation here that I totally
oh shit.
About.
Okay, we speculated and now here's the truth.
Yep. There we go.
Got ahead
it
of
starts
ourselves.
With an existing crystal sphere gradually growing in size, swelling, and they're growing apart and splitting.
Like a cell.
Yeah, the two crystal spheres remain clustered together for some time, akin to fairy dragon eggs.
Sure.
They remain close together while swelling to fully grown size. The spheres are so close that they actually gently chime every time waves of phlogiston bump them together. Eventually, crystal spheres grow to their full size and stars inside them spark to life.
Man.
I'm going to be honest. I like our idea better. Because I just think, I don't know, it's just weird that they're like mitosising.
Maybe it's just like it's a copy, but not an exact copy.
So is it like another Forgotten Realms? Like if Forgotten Realms has a Forgotten Realms baby, is it just Forgotten Realms Jr.?
It's Forgotten Forgotten Realms, the sequel.
Yeah, like I don't know.
In this,
I like the homebrew idea.
In this one, we've implanted all the same actors from Star Trek.
Yeah, exactly.
This is cool. So basically, what you're saying is you have to get deep. Like digging deep into space.
Like digging deep, yeah.
And then
absolutely.
You have to hashtag fake bullshit some fairy dragon egg style birthings.
Keep going.
No, that's all. That's it. That was the complete thought.
So next, let's talk about the phlogiston.
Okay, I'm uncomfortable.
The phlogiston. The phlogiston is a term that can either refer to the space between the crystal spheres of the primordial plane or to the flammable fluid that permeates it, a rainbow-colored chaotic material that surrounds the spheres.
That's crazy that they mentioned it was flammable.
Oh, it's very,
it's
very.
It's so fucking flammable.
It's as flammable as a thing can be. We're going to talk a little bit more about it.
Only you can prevent phlogiston fires.
Bizarre creatures inhabit the phlogiston and prey on spelljammers traveling between spheres. Spacefarers sometimes call the phlogiston the flow or the rainbow ocean.
Oh, hell yeah. That sounds awesome.
It does sound awesome. The phlogiston is an opaque, brilliant, multicolored ether that does not resemble any of the four elements. It cannot exist inside crystal spheres and quickly dissipates if brought inside. It also cannot be reproduced. Most importantly, it is extremely flammable. Any spark or flame, magical or otherwise, will immediately explode, violently igniting the ship and its surrounding area. Because of this, travelers always extinguish their flames before leaving their crystal spheres. Enclosed areas of the ship can only be illuminated by magical or flameless lights, such as those produced by fireflies.
Yeah, you want to really put your evocation wizard against the wall? Send him out into the phlogiston with fucking Crush, like Space Crush.
Space Crush!
Let's go ride the phlogiston, dude. No fire, though.
I just recently went to the aquarium with my family.
Sure.
And we, of course, Finding Nemo came up. Mm-hmm. Crush is the best character from that movie, right? Am I right?
And his son, Squirt.
Yeah. Yes, both of them together. They're a duo. They're a package deal. Best characters, right?
And Dory. Dory's
cool. Dory's cool. Dory's cool.
And what about that big school of sarcastic fish that like Dorian, not Marlon?
Oh, yeah. That was funny, too.
They're a very good character.
I'm a Crush fan. Crush is the best. Moving on. Because of the obscuring nature of phlogiston, crystal spheres are usually not visible during most of the duration of the trip. They only become visible at very close distances, and due to their enormous size, always appear like perfectly flat walls with no apparent curvature.
Okay.
So you can't really see the crystal sphere coming because the phlogiston is just so thick.
Jeez, what a sentence. My God.
This just became a Dungeon Cast episode.
Yep.
It took about 15 it's minutes, official. But we got there.
It's official. We're here, everybody. Just play that one back. I'm clipping this.
Yeah, you should.
Oh my god. Tell me more about the phlogiston, please.
I'm trying. God damn it. Why do I say these things?
I didn't ask for this. I did sign up for this shit, though. I did.
I need a minute. We're taking a short rest. Short rest.
Okay, it's short rest time.
Oh, shit.
I had no, after I said it, I was like, oh.
Wow.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is great. They're taking businesses of all sizes, cradling them in their arms, to help them grow by giving them the tools they need. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success at every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/dungeoncast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/dungeoncast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/dungeoncast. Hey folks, I'm here today to tell you about Visible. Something unfortunate about wireless services, what you see isn't always what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. No perception check required. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. If you're looking for a carrier that is upfront with no hidden fees, then go to Visible.com to make the switch. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save, and you're going to be getting unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Visible is the wireless carrier that's constantly operating from a zone of truth. In their quest for total transparency, Visible wants you to know the monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com.
Shout out to Team Gorgon. Shout out to Team Gorgon. Oh, yeah. Shout out to Team Gorgon.
We've returned.
Indeed we have.
We're fucking back.
We're back.
Guess what, everyone? We have a Patreon. Patreon.com/DungeonCast where you can support Will and his dirty mind.
It's so true. This unintentional.
Yeah. It is the best. It is the singular best way to support us if you can.
Absolutely, yes.
And if you can't, totally understandable, but you could also go to leave us a review.
Yeah, that'll help.
Apple iTunes. Those 5-star reviews, they're really cool. We get a little report when we get them. Comes in every Monday, and I love reading them, even the 1-stars, because the 1-star stuff is like kind of funny. People are like, bad.
They're few and far between, yes. But they're very not constructive.
I think our last one was like, bad podcasts. Like,
yeah.
Cool.
Thank you.
I don't know what that means.
But I think we prefer the 5-star ones, so please leave those.
Yeah, those are dope. They're usually very, very kind, and I appreciate everybody that has taken the time to do that. Lovely little reads.
Absolutely. Sure. Thank you, guys. Are you ready to do this?
I'm ready.
All right.
Are you ready?
I am ready. Let's go.
Excellent.
The phlogiston also completely blocks access to other planes of existence. It is impossible to access another plane while in the flow. Even the extra-dimensional space created by Mordenkainen's magnificent mansion spell or a magical item such as a portable hole.
Oh, okay.
So all that shit's completely shut off.
Portable hole's so cool.
Mm-hmm. The phlogiston is far from homogeneous. The fluid itself varies in its density from place to place and also displays river-like flows, sometimes connecting objects such as the crystal spheres themselves within them. In fact, the vastness of the phlogiston is dominated by flow rivers, which link crystal shells in a mind-bogglingly gigantic 3D web. Spelljammers can make use of these flow rivers to greatly increase their speeds through the vast distances within the phlogiston. Increasing the contact area with the flow to acquire greater speed is also the reason some spell jamming ships have sails.
It's the EAC, bro. We're getting closer and closer to finding Nemo. So they can, like, ride the currents.
Absolutely, yes, absolutely. But you mentioned earlier about the sails.
Yeah.
They're in solar winds, it's similar, except for they're catching the flow rivers.
They're catching that sweet flow, that nasty stuff.
The crystal spheres float freely in the phlogiston, sometimes enough to significantly change their positions with respect to each other over time.
Ooh.
The flow, however, remains unaltered, so navigation between the spheres remains possible. Many of these rivers flow in both directions, but some flow in only one way, forcing a return trip to take a different route.
So if you want to find a certain sphere, you'll have to calculate the amount of time versus flow to figure out, like, where it might be now?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. In some cases. Not in all cases. Sometimes crystal spheres don't necessarily move.
Okay, so. Yeah. So they get stuck in, like, a little, like, non-energy area or something like that.
That, or they'll just be kind of caught in a particular flow river network that maybe doesn't allow them to move much.
Like a whirlpool.
Yeah.
So there's, like, some of them might be having planetary movement, style movement, where they, like, you know, go around a lazy river or something like that. And
yeah.
Others will just be kind of like out in the ether somewhere.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Yes. So it is apparently not possible to actually see river flow or flow rivers. Yeah, flow rivers. Though detailed measurement can detect a significant increase in the drift of the multicolored fog in one or two directions.
Okay.
They are felt more than seen. An individual sitting on a spelljammer helm can easily realize that a starship has entered a flow river.
Okay. Got it. You'll feel it, like, start to curve off to, like, one side or something.
Yeah.
As you drift.
A particularly stable configuration of flow rivers known to most spacefarers is a triangular formation of crystal spheres consisting of realm space, Forgotten Realms.
Capital R.
In which Toril is located.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I just fucking read all about that.
Yeah. Gray space, you know, Greyhawk.
Greyhawk.
Where the world of Earth is found. And Kryn space, home to the world of Kryn, and that's Dragonlance.
Okay.
The phlogiston has a strong current that flows between realm space and gray space, making two-way travel between the two crystal spheres relatively simple. There are one-way flows from gray space to Kryn space and from Kryn space to realm space, but not in the opposite directions.
Okay, so I would imagine that the new Spelljammer setting will include Eberron, and I moved to call it the Ron space.
I love it. I support this movement.
Yeah.
I will sign the petition, yes.
I don't like Ebba space.
Ebba
space. We'll go with Ron space.
Eber space.
Eber space.
Ron space.
Ron space. Like,
I
Ron,
like, yeah.
And it's just a picture of Ron Swanson.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Another stable configuration is located very close to realm space. It is known as the Arcane Inner Flow. It encompasses nearly a dozen crystal spheres, including Refuge, a close neighbor of realm space, and the site of a spaceport controlled by the Arcane.
Ooh, the Arcane.
The Arcane are a race of spacefaring and extraplanar merchants, especially interested in dealing in spelljamming equipment.
Okay.
How convenient. A third known stable configuration of the flow is known as the Arcane Outer Flow and is believed to include over 100 crystal spheres.
Ooh.
Safe routes between the inner and outer flow are known only to the Arcane, though, so that's their realm.
I mean, 100 sounds like a lot, but not compared to what is in, like, actual space.
Yeah, no, if we're comparing to an actual galaxy, it's a tiny amount.
Yeah, this is like a local area.
Yeah.
So 100 crystals can be a lot to visit. But, like, a nice little array of places to go, you know, mix up the campaign.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And the thing is, like, you know, not all those 100 are actually mapped out. Like, plenty of them can just be whatever homebrew you want.
Right, yeah. The spell jamming, like, ether, like, in the phlogiston is what, like the ocean floor? It's like 5% explored.
Exactly, yeah. All right. Safe. Oh, I said safe for us. Okay. Some areas of the phlogiston contain vast clouds of negative energy known as dark regions. Mm. One particularly dangerous dark region is located between the Vodani Empire, a vast and aggressive realm spanning 12 crystal spheres. It is the largest and mightiest empire known.
Oh shit. And 12 spheres.
Yeah. And the realm space triangle, and this place is known as the Weird.
Yeah, with all you fucking murder hobos and perverts running around making stories in the realm space. Mm-hmm. So we just call it, that's a weird shit.
The Weird is inhabited by a Zalani ghost ship known as Lady Lenore.
Cool.
The Zalani are a race of black gargoyle-like creatures who are said to be amongst the most fearsome humanoid creatures in the known universe.
Also cool. There's a lot of Gith out there, right? I know there's a lot of Gith.
I would say there's more Gif than Gith.
But aren't the Gith like really good candidates for like this
they
kind
are,
of space
they are fantastic
adventure?
Candidates. I don't know how prolific they are in the actual setting though. Okay. But like they already are like astral sea dwellers, and like right. Where the astral sea fits in your spelljammer setting is I don't even know.
I know, and they have the boats already, right?
Yeah, they already got the boats.
They basically have spelljammers.
And they have dragons.
They have dragons?
Yeah, they super have dragons. They have red dragons. Remember, they have a big deal with Tiamat.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. I do remember that. All right.
Yeah.
Evil.
So now let's... excuse me. My bad. So now let's talk about spelljammers.
Okay.
A spelljammer is a type of magically powered vessel that can travel great distances, even into the wild space and the phlogiston.
Okay.
Each ship has a magical helm or captain's chair that allows a suitably powerful mage to pilot the ship. Some spelljammers are also capable of traveling to other planes of existence.
When you take off in a spelljamming ship, you have to be like, it's spelljamming time. Like,
oh, yeah, like every time.
Like it's Morbin time?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's time to, or do you say
time
like,
to spell jam.
Time to jam some spells,
okay.
Baby.
I'm very curious because I did not find it anywhere. Why the fuck are they called spelljammers? Because when you hear the word spelljammer, what do you think?
Like... a fucking radar dish. That scene from Spaceballs where they throw the jam at the fucking radar dish.
Okay.
Like, they're going to, like, stop your magic.
Yeah, that's what I... Exactly. Yeah. They're going to jam your spell. But that's not what these are, obviously. So I'm not sure why they're called spell jammers. I didn't read it anywhere. There was no sentence that said... They're called spell jammers because of X reason.
Can I tell you something secret?
Yeah, go ahead.
I also don't know why they're called spell jammers.
I didn't think you did.
Okay.
Spell jammers vary enormously in design, but many contain common elements. One such element being that in a variety of spell jammers are fan-shaped sails, whose purpose is to harness the flow of the phlogiston, or if within a planet's atmosphere, the wind.
Okay, cool. That's fucking super convenient.
It is.
Like, yeah, if I just pilot it into whatever atmosphere, it'll fly. So, great.
The size of spelljammers is typically measured as their tonnage, which reflects the volume occupied by a ship in spatial tons and is different from the typical tonnage of seafaring ships. One spatial ton is equivalent to a volume of 100 cubic yards.
Or 76 cubic meters.
Mm-hmm. When traveling through the emptiness of wild space or the flow of the phlogiston away from large objects, spelljammers can reach a top speed of 100 million miles per day.
Or 6,800,000 kilometers per hour.
This means that a trip from Toril to Saloon could... That can't be right.
Yeah, it's Saloon.
Yeah, from Toril to Saloon could be completed in just over an hour. The sun could be reached in 2 days, and the crystal shell of realm space is 64 days away.
Okay. So far, they're far as fuck.
Yeah, actually, yeah, these crystal shells are huge then. Because everything I just said is within the same crystal shell.
Yeah, so what I imagine is the crystal shell contains like all of the planes of existence for that reality.
Yeah, and
like,
you
this
can
is a
fly to Saloon's
bubble.
Realm.
Yeah, exactly.
Literally. That's
or
crazy.
Wait, isn't Saloon like a place? Like
Saloon is the moon in Forgotten Realms.
Yeah,
they
okay.
call their moon Saloon.
That's what it
because
was.
Because there's a goddess of the moon named Saloon.
Yeah.
So you could fly to the moon in an hour, and the sun in 2 days, and the crystal shell, so the edge of the solar system, is 64 days.
Yeah, okay, so it takes at least 64 days to get outside of the sphere, and then you have to go in the phlogiston and however long it takes to travel between spheres. So you could be...
If it takes 64 days to get... Well, here's the thing.
Probably take like 3 months to get to a sphere.
I could see that, and that's probably right, but I just realized, like... Spelljammers travel much faster outside of crystal spheres.
Oh, they can,
inside.
They hit that flow.
They hit that flow.
Yeah. So who knows how long it could be.
Yeah. But I think 3 months sounds about right.
3 months on that flow. Oh, and it depends on how the flow go. What if the flow go wrong way? Then you go wrong way.
Then you go wrong way.
You go against the flow? Mm-hmm. That doesn't sound right.
No, never go against the flow.
No.
These high speeds, also called spell jamming speeds, cannot be maintained in the vicinity of a gravity plane or inside an atmosphere. Whenever approaching an object of at least 10 spatial tons or 1,000 cubic yards.
Or 760 cubic meters.
In volume. Most spell jammers automatically decelerate to much slower speeds, usually determined by the ship size, the quality of the helm, and the pilot's magical capabilities.
Okay, so if you're good at magic, you can make ship go faster.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So many, many alien races inhabit the Spelljammer universe, including humans, dwarves, beholder colonies, rapacious Neogi, militant Gif, centaur-like Dracons, elf armadas, spacefaring orcs called Skro, which is just orcs backwards, the mysterious Great. Arcane, the thrykeen insectoids, and bumbling tinker gnomes. Illithids are another major race, but they're presented as more mercantile and less overtly evil than in other D&D settings.
You want to buy some death sticks?
Yeah, absolutely.
I got them all in my face.
I don't know all the things that will and won't be included in the new Spelljammer setting. I don't know what may or may not be changed from previous editions, but some stuff has been revealed to be in the upcoming book, so let's talk about those things.
Yeah, like the Illithids selling Pirates of the Caribbean DVDs out of their tentacles.
Absolutely, like, and of course their newest mixtape.
Yeah, and their newest mixtape, Hot Shit. Spelljammer boats all have disk drives.
Absolutely, so, they do. Yeah. So the first thing we're going to talk about is the Kondori. A lot of promo art is out there that has heavily featured these large whale-like creatures. Kondori, also called space whales, are among the largest living creatures found in space, 80 to 100 feet in length. They resemble aquatic whales in appearance and temperament. They are most often spotted slowly swimming through the void of the phlogiston. The main differences between them and whales are that they have no mouth, and their leading edge is dotted with small eyes. The Kondori are peaceful except when threatened. When provoked, Kondori attack with their massive tail flukes. Kondori can also emit a blinding flash of light from their leading eyes.
Oh, that sounds cool. 100 feet is roughly 30 meters.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Also, while you're at it, you should pull up an image of the Kondori. They're really cool looking.
Kondori.
The Kondori have no need to eat or breathe, but they retain an air envelope around themselves. They feed by collecting light through a mass of white patches on their belly. They tend to travel in pods of 2 to 8 individuals. Several pods gather together annually into a large herd for mating. It is during this time that Kondori, especially male bulls, are most likely to attack passing ships.
So they just look like humpback whales, kind
of. Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Like space humpback whales.
Yeah, space humpback whales with weird, some deep water eye stuff kind of going on a little bit.
Yeah.
A lot of like 5 eyes running across the front of it, or maybe.
Yeah. That's about right.
There's also a lot of desserts under the name Kondori. On this image search.
Very interesting. So there are actually wild space societies that often travel on the backs of Kondori. Lightly hook small structures called howdahs onto the creatures and ride along with them. Kondori often have air-producing plants and mosses growing on their backs, providing a stable air envelope and minimal ecology. So they are like little life pockets, really.
Wow, that's awesome.
That's pretty cool. Next up, the Eldritch Lich.
Oh, damn. That's like more than an arch lich, or...
It's different.
It's just different.
From beyond the stars, a great old one whispers promises of reality-defying knowledge and world-bending power.
Neat.
When a wizard or warlock hears that whisper and listens too intently, they might set foot on the twisting path towards becoming an Eldritch Lich.
Too deeply, if you will. Deep like Dagon.
Mm-hmm. Deep like Dagon. Like other liches, Eldritch Liches are spellcasters who have cheated death, but an Eldritch Lich does so by allowing a Great Old One to implant a Far Realm parasite in the Lich.
Oh, what?
That parasite bestows undeath upon the spellcaster and causes strange tentacles to sprout from its body.
Fun.
The parasite's mouth is visible on the Lich's torso, and the parasite guards the Lich against destruction, reviving the Lich a few days after death. Canny foes can sabotage an Eldritch Lich's revival by slaying the Lich in a magic circle, thereby forcing the Lich to return to in a distorted form, robbed of most of its power.
So a wizard is like, what must I do, Elder God, to become the Eldritch Lich is like, have you seen Dead Man's Chest? It's going to be like that a little bit.
Exactly. There you go.
And then they put an Animorph slug in their fucking ear.
Is that a thing? Is that how the Animorphs become Animorphs? There's a slug?
Well, the bad guys have the slug.
And what does the slug do?
It takes over the brain of the host. So the slug is the persona or whatever.
Cool.
But it crawls in your ear and makes you be evil.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
And then you can Animorph, I think. I think Animorph power is different.
Yeah. Like, it's not slug-based. It sounds different.
I thought
it
was like some sort of power cube or some shit like that.
I've never read a single Animorph book in my life.
But you get it.
Yeah, I get the idea. Everybody An Eldritch Lich constantly hears bizarre whispers from the far realm, to which the Lich nods and mutters. Occasionally, the Lich uses its telepathy to share those whispers with the minds around it.
That's cool. Okay.
All right, next up, we got the GIF.
Awesome.
GIF are burly, 7-foot-tall, hippopotamus-headed people.
Yep.
In wild space and the associated ports, GIF are most often encountered as spacefaring mercenaries. These troops are renowned for their martial training and their love of explosives and are typically armed with gleaming pistols and muskets.
Hippos to the max. Hippos are the most dangerous mammal.
They really fucking are.
They're so
Every
scary.
Aspect of the spacefaring GIF society is organized along military lines. From birth until death, each has a military rank. Promotions don't depend on age but are granted by a superior as a reward for valor. Muskets and grenades are the specialties of many GIF regiments. The bigger the boom, the brighter the flash, and the thicker the smoke it produces, the greater the glory for the one wielding the weapon.
Okay.
GIF mercenaries. You know what? GIF mercenaries kind of remind me of the... I think he's Russian. The Russian explosives dude from Lost City of Atlantis.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. I could see, definitely guy. See that.
GIF mercenaries have been known to accept payment in kegs of gunpowder in preference to gold, gems, and other currency.
Cool.
So there's this
Can
thing.
Can you imagine being born and like a fucking military captain is like yelling at you fresh out of the womb?
I know,
like,
right?
What's up, soldier? It's looking good, son.
I like that.
Make an explosion right now.
All right, Ryan. So there's this thing that they have shown pictures of that they are calling an eye monger. I have a link in the notes. I need you to click it and don't say anything.
Okay.
Because I have one fucking question for you.
Okay.
Is this a. You got it?
My mom told me not to click strange links.
You click this strange
All right,
link, Brian.
Hang on. I clicked it.
Okay. Don't say anything. I have a question.
It didn't do the thing I thought
it didn't
it was
do the thing.
Do. Hold on a second.
Okay.
What the fuck? I'm having a technical error.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It's because it's from.
It's because you have Apple products.
I just did it the wrong way.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I've clicked it for reals.
And do you see? Okay. I have one question for you.
Oh, no.
Have they rebranded the Aster Eater?
No, it looks like he's about to eat some ass.
They call it the Eye Monger, and I find this revelation to be disgusting, I am offended.
You're telling me this isn't the Aster Eater?
Yeah, they're calling it the Eye Monger. I'm offended.
He's looking at ass.
Yeah. Are we about to lose the Magnificent Beast, which is called the Aster Eater?
Well, there's a good reason not to call it that, and that...
It's not good enough for me, Brian.
It'll be the Aster Eater in our hearts.
Absolutely.
Always. Please check out our episode on the Aster Eater, which is essentially an extension of this episode.
It really is. Yes.
Was the whole episode was the Aster Eater, right?
No, it was. I had the Aster Eater as a surprise monster at the end of. I want to say it's our. Oh shit!
The Hive Mind.
It was like, it was the Hive Mind episode. Yeah,
it was a Beholder episode.
Hive Mothers and all the other
Hive
ones.
Mothers,
at the end,
yeah.
I had the Aster Eater.
Yeah. Oh my god.
So. That's a thing.
That was some of the funniest shit.
It's also not the wildest thing we're about to talk about.
No?
So there's one more thing I wanted to mention.
I see. Okay.
Space clowns.
That's troubling.
Space clowns are apparently a thing now.
Okay.
I mean, they were a thing then, apparently, but now they're a thing now.
Fucking Pennywise is like tired of the sewer. He's like, going to space.
Basically, they are apparently fiends of some sort.
Uh-huh.
They come from clown space.
What the fuck, Spelljammer? Spelljammer is a comedy setting, right?
It has to be. They are shape-shifting clown people who disguise themselves as balloons or even as children. They fight with toy ray guns that shoot actual laser beams or whatever else you want them to.
Okay.
When they die, they explode into acidic ichor.
Huh.
Their ships have catapults upon them which launch giant deadly pies. That is all I have on space clowns.
I hate you, wizards. Why did you do this? What the fuck is this?
That's all I got on Spelljammer, man. What do you want to talk about any of it? Are we done? We gotta see what comes out in the book.
You can't just end the episode like this.
I have.
This is not right.
Space clowns. The Aster Eater isn't the Aster Eater anymore. Welcome to Spelljammer.
Somebody was watching like a lot of Doctor Who when they wrote Spelljammer, Doctor Who's like, yeah, there's fucking evil, there's a bad guy, and it's just a fucking clown.
Yeah.
There you go. Fucking run with it. And the writers do what they have to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's probably gonna be terrifying.
Yeah, it absolutely is.
This sounds terrifying.
I've seen pictures, they're terrifying.
Okay, angry hippo people that like explosions.
Well, they're not angry, but they do like explosions.
They could be angry.
They could be angry, but they're not default angry.
Hippos.
Hippos are angry. Specifically male hippos.
Hippos are default angry.
They are default angry.
Unless you're a hippo. And then only sometimes.
There's eldritch liches, which are just kind of like worse liches.
Yes, bad Davy Jones liches.
The Aster Eater has changed his identity, but he's still a sexual predator.
So like. Yeah. I gotta be call me the eye monger because I don't just eat ass. It's not all I do.
What else did I talk about?
Aster Eater is actually
space whales are nice though.
Asteroids.
Let's agree that space whales are nice and they're
space whales are nice. Hippo people can be hired to do your dirty work, but they're mad and they like boom.
Great old ones like, will boom. Try and get you to implant a tadpole into your brain.
Illithids are no longer evil, but they are trying to sell you DVDs out of the trunk of their Spelljammer.
Yep.
And mostly Pirates movies, so and they're avoiding Disney copyrights really hard if they can with psychic powers. And we've traded out the evil Illithid for space clowns.
Yeah, basically.
Welcome to Spelljammer, everybody, where no spells are being jammed, but we do have fucked up Pennywise clowns just kind of like out and about, I guess.
Let's take a long rest.
Okay. Shout out to Demogorgon, oh yeah! Hey, everybody, welcome to the long rest. This is the part of the episode where we just coast on the lazy river of phlogiston and float away.
Where we won't see the crystal spheres coming.
No. We might bump into them. Maybe we won't.
Phlogiston is just too thick.
It's so thick. My God. It's colorful and flammable.
It is.
Just like regular semen.
Okay. All right. What are we talking about today?
We're talking about The Last Mile. Thank you, The Last Mile, for
being such a stalwart patron.
Yeah.
Of everything we do. Thank you, Last Mile. You're amazing.
We're going to do Patreon shout outs in a couple episodes, but we saw you come in and you've been special to us at your fluctuating tiers, which we appreciate all of them. But every time you do it, I'm going to shout you out, boy. You know that. We talked about it. Thank you to everybody on Patreon. Those changes are getting rolling finally that we've been talking about for a little while. So check it out. We have a wonderful community of people that support this show, and it doesn't stop at Patreon. It goes deep into Discord, so join us at
digging deep, if you will.
Deep like digging deep into it. Yeah, anyway, check us out on Discord. There are wonderful people there if you're just like looking for. I know they've added some channels recently from what I've heard to help support like there's a lot of character creation stuff going on. There's a lot of, you know, if you need help world building or anything like that, there's stuff in there. And if you want to talk about the Dungeon Cast, you can do that too. Or Super Quest Saga. We've got all kinds of channels. Will and I are there if you want to talk to your special guest, Jake, or a friend of the show, Josh Freeland, or Tom from Dude Could You Imagine, who will be participating in Unhollowed with us shortly. We're all there. So if you want to like hit a tag and, you know, be cool about it, I guess. But, you know, we'll get around to answering you for sure.
Yeah.
Most of us are in there pretty regularly, especially Will and I. So you can join us there. You can also follow our Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, those types of things, social media stuff. And the biggest and most important thing, which we might make a separate video about, it sounds like we will, is we are giving away the new Spelljammer book.
Yes, we are giving away Spelljammer Adventures in Space. I think we're going to do it the week of its release. So I think when this episode airs, there'll be a few days till its release. So
I have a wonderful calendar.
You do have a wonderful calendar that probably says when we are giving it away.
So I think we started the giveaway on August 1st. And that was not announced in the episode 300.
No, but it was announced across our social media at the very least, including Discord.
Keep an eye out for that. We'll make a... You still have another week to go.
Yeah.
So pretty much it ends on the 15th when the book comes out.
Yeah.
We'll be reaching out to the person that wins and giving them, getting like the address stuff worked out, where you want the book shipped, essentially, and we will do that shit.
Yeah. And to enter the contest, I believe all you got to do is share the show with the hashtag DungeonCast and let us know. And if you do that on Twitter, we will automatically pick it up.
Yeah. And there will probably be an announcement in Discord and stuff like that. You know, if you're plugged into the DungeonCast outside of the podcast, you'll probably see stuff about the giveaway and how to perform the tasks required of you to win the book. And it's all to spread the word about the show. Word of mouth is a super powerful way to spread the word about something, and we want you to spread the word about the Dungeon Cast. That's why it's a retweet of like a link to the show or something like that. That's the idea. Tag your friends sort of contest. We do that too. Get them entries in. I'm sure there's like the standard way. We don't run the giveaways ourselves anymore. This was a thank you to those of you who are brave and bold enough to do so. But yeah, win yourself a Spelljammer book, baby. Don't be scared. Get in there and Blood Eagle that shit.
No, God.
Tell everybody. You want to add anything else? Or?
No, I think that's good. I think we can call it a game there.
Are we going to do another Spelljammer episode after the book?
Oh, yes. Like an updated Spelljammer. Once the book is out, we will probably have a lot of different Spelljammer episodes, depending on what's inside.
Yeah, so this is our preliminary, you know, here was Spelljammer before, and then we can just focus on 5e stuff when that comes out.
Exactly.
Pretty cool, man. Yeah, there have been a lot of cool books coming out for D&D. I'm really excited. The movie's on its way. Good stuff. Good stuff. Stranger Things. It's all happening. Mm-hmm. Let's call it a game.
Yeah.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.